guess the end of a thing is better than the beginning of a thing, the Bible says. And today we finish this series that we began, oh, so many weeks, months ago, on the names of God. We have been observing through the scriptures from the very beginning, in the beginning God, how God reveals himself to us through the names that he lays down for us in the scriptures. Everything we know about God has to be revealed by God. We can't find him out on our own. Now, in the Old Testament, it's curious, in the book of the Proverbs, there's a verse that I like. It says, Proverbs 22:1, it says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches." Now, we've looked through the scriptures up to this point, and we have seen in the Old Testament that God has revealed 23 different names about himself in the Old Testament. 23 different names. And for those that study scriptures and numbers, and there's been a lot of books written about number in scripture. I think Bullinger probably wrote the first one back in the mid-1800s. Many have been written since then. It seems like the number 23 in the Bible is associated with death. And it's curious that the God of the Old Testament, by law, the law bringeth death. The wages of sin are death. The law reveals you're sinners, and the wages of sin is death. And 23 names God reveals about himself in the Old Testament to remind you that we're under a dispensation of law, and if you meet this God under the dispensation of law, our God's a consuming fire. And then we come to the New Testament. A good name rather to be chosen than great riches. And when you get to Matthew, Chapter 1, the first book of the New Testament, the first page of the New Testament, the first chapter of the New Testament, we read in chapter 1 the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And when we get to verse 18, we read, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." And there it is in all caps. Jesus, capital J-E-S-U-S, "for he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. And the 24th name revealed for God here in the first chapter of the New Testament is Jesus. Jesus. And of course, we'll look at that a little later in terms of the numbers, but right now, I want you to see a number of things about this name that God brings forth to us in the New Testament. The first thing I want you to see about this name, Jesus, it is a proper name. It is a proper name. Now, I was studying in the dictionary. Proper is associated with the word appropriate. Appropriate, something that's appropriate, is proper. It means particular to or belonging to a person. Jesus was a person. Jesus is a person. This name belongs to him. It's a proper means particularly suited to. Now, this name that God gave Jesus is particularly suited to the person of Jesus Christ. The name, a proper name, is one's own. This was Jesus' own name that God had chosen for him. And it means noting an individual pertaining to one of a species, but not common to the whole. And let me tell you, Jesus is one of the species of man on earth, but he's not common to the whole. This is a proper name. Now, let me just show you. We went through the Old Testament, and we saw the first thing that God ever gave to us was the title God. In the beginning, God. God created the heaven and the earth. Now, God is more of a generic term or a reference to deity. I think of it like the equivalent to this. Equivalent to like the term leader. You always see these cartoons. You know, my son watches these cartoons. He watches old cartoons from years ago. And this Martian spacecraft would land, and out would come this little funny Martian, say, "Take me to your leader, take me to your leader." Okay, well, that's kind of, God is a kind of a generic term like leader. It's a generic term, a generic reference to deity. And so very quickly, after God gives us the term God in Genesis 1, by Genesis 2, he moves to a new term that he uses predominantly through the Old Testament scriptures, and we see it a bit in the New Testament scriptures too. He uses this term Lord. Now the Lord moves from, Lord is not so much a generic term as it is a title. It's a title. Now think of the little Martian, take me to your leader. Now, depending on where that spacecraft landed, there would be different titles for the leaders. If he landed here in Washington, the title would be the president. If he landed in England, when there's a king on the throne, the title would be a king. If he landed in some other country, the title might be chairman, like in China, Chairman Mao. The chairman is our leader. In some places, it might be the prime minister is the leader. And there'd be different titles given. And so the Lord is kind of like a title that is given. But when you get to this New Testament, you come up with a name. See, this is a title of what the leader would be. But when you get to Jesus, now you have a name. It's a proper name. See, names are given, we give them to our children. We have names that our parents gave to us. We have proper names. My name is Michael. Different names of people in the room here. And names have meanings to them. For example, you meet someone whose name is Anna. The name means grace. You meet someone whose name is Daniel. It means God is my judge. The name Andrew means manly. The name Jonathan means the Lord's gift. Stephen would mean a wreath or a crown. Judith means praise. The name Jesus is defined right here. It's God saves us. He will save his people. It is Jehovah saves us. The proper name given, the first thing that God does here in the New Testament is he brings forth a proper name and puts it and says, this name, this is the name, a proper name that I'm going to give to my only begotten son, and it means Jehovah saves. When you see this name, it means Jehovah saves. You take that personally, Jehovah saves us. Jesus, Jehovah saves. It's a proper name. The next thing I want you to see about this name, that as God reveals here, the second thing is it is a powerful name. You're still in Matthew. Turn to Matthew chapter 8. This is a powerful name, Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, and we'll pick it up in verse 28. Matthew 8, 28. Jesus is now out in his ministry, out and about, taking the disciples with him. And when he, Jesus, was come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two, possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us as before the time?" Well, they were afraid of that name. Those devils trembled at the name of Jesus. They still tremble today at the name of Jesus. Go to the next book, Mark chapter 1. That is a powerful name. It's not just a proper name. It is a powerful name. And devils tremble at the name of Jesus. Mark chapter 1. Verse 23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. That's a devil. Clean spirits are from God. Unclean spirits are from the devil. An unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." Jesus has power. And when the unclean spirit has toward him, he cried out with a loud voice, and he came out of him, and they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, and saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." This name has power. It's a proper name, it's a powerful name, over devils. Not only over devils. Later on, by the way, in the book of Acts, it's interesting. Because you say that only applied when Jesus was here. Turn to the book of Acts. By now, Jesus, chapter 16. Jesus has ascended into heaven. And all that's working behind him now are simple men and women like you and I, folks. Men and women who've taken him by faith. Men and women who go out in the highways and the byways and on the countrysides, and we proclaim that Jesus is the Savior. And in Acts chapter 16, notice this. Paul's out there and he's preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 16:16. That name has power even today. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, Paul and Luke are writing here, Luke is writing, that's Paul and Luke and the others, we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Goes on today. See people making money with this astrology and with these tarot cards and with these spirits and their contact with the spirit world, and they're making money off of it, and they're in touch with unclean spirits. I'm not surprised. Now, the unsaved world doesn't understand this thing. Well, there's nothing to this psychic stuff. You better watch it. There's something to the psychic stuff. There are devils, and they know what's going on, and they feed information to these people. These people are vessels, and they're unclean spirits. You know, everybody's so surprised. How did he know where I was last week? How did he know the color of the car that I was driving? How did he know? Look, that devil, he can see a green car. He knows who you were with last week. These are familiar spirits talking to these people. I'll tell you something, devil. Tell me my future. Tell me something I don't know. Tell me where I'm going to go when I die. Tell me the way to heaven. That shut up real quick. Anyways, this spirit was working through this girl, verse 17. The same, this girl with the spirit, followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God." By the way, the devils know, folks. You out there preaching for Jesus? You out there passing out tracts? You carry tracts with you passing out? The devils know. That guy's a servant of the Most High God. That guy's trouble down there. That girl's trouble. That's okay. We don't mind enemies like that. We got friends up in high places that love us. We love the Lord, His Spirit, His angels. These are servants of the Most High God, verse 18. And this did she many days, interrupting the meetings Paul was having on the street. But Paul, being grieved and turned, said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. That's a powerful name. That's a powerful name. Turn to the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts 19. That name has power. People that carry that name and love that name, those devils know who they are. Some people try and imitate it. Watch this passage here in Acts 19 and verse 13. Paul's been out preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ to the Jews and the Greeks, and the name has got great power. And then verse 13, then certain, Acts 19:13, certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, here they are playing with the spirit world, took upon them to call over them, which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, they're watching this. They're saying, here goes Paul. He preaches Jesus. He has power, and he's able to cast out devils from these folks. We're supposed to be exorcists. We really have no power. Maybe if we imitate what Paul's doing, it'll work for us. So they try it. They say, we'll go over someone. We'll use the name of Jesus. Okay. So they say this, middle of verse 13, to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preacheth. 14. And there were seven sons of one Sceva. Sceva was a Jew and a chief of the priests, which did so. His seven sons didn't like God's religion, so they went off doing a little exorcist religion. Verse 15, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Why didn't it work for these guys imitating it? Because they may have known the name of Jesus, but they didn't possess the name of Jesus. And in order to have that, you have to possess that proper name inside of you. And they possessed the name. Paul did. These vagabonds didn't. That name's got power when it's possessed by someone over devils. Not only over devils, it has power over the flesh. Turn back to Acts chapter 3. Jesus, in his great prayer in John 17, said, Father, thou hast given me power over all flesh. Watch in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And pick it up in, well, actually, I was going to say verse 6, but let me give you a run and start to see what's happening. In verse 1, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. They laid him there to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So this poor man is got a palsy, a cripple of some time. He's had it for a long time. He's been unable to work and make a living. So he lays at the temple and just asks people for enough money so that he can eat. So verse 3, this man, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. You know, can you throw a quarter into the cup, Peter and John? And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Wow, maybe I'll get a buck. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. You see the power of the name of Jesus Christ? It's got power over devils. It's got power over the flesh. And turn to Acts 17. Acts 17 and verses 6 and 7. They've been preaching in the region of Amphipolis and Apollonia and Thessalonica, and they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now the Jews are angry with them, and they're looking for them. Verse 6, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren under the rulers of the city, saying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there's another king, one Jesus. They've been preaching in the name of Jesus, and it turned the world upside down. The name of Jesus has the power over devils, over the flesh, and over the world. Hey, Christian, those are your three biggest enemies. And that name has the power over those things. You say, stretching a little bit. Let me tell you what happened. That name has so much power. Folks, you get out there in the world, and there's all kinds of religions. And there's spirituality, there's a rebirth of spirituality in America today. Go to Barnes & Noble, go to a bookstore, and ask for the spiritual section. And there will be shelves of spiritual, which you could call pablum puke. It's not going to help you at all. The only spiritual words that are going to help you are the words of life given by Jesus in the book of life right here, the Bible. And people are reading all this spiritual garbage that can't help them. And there's just been a birth of spirituality, and people are talking about these spirits, and they talk about the Holy Spirit, and they talk about God, and they talk about Maitreya, and they talk about Lord, and they have Allah, and they have all these terms that they use, and they go on and on and on. But notice they avoid the Lord Jesus Christ. That name's a little too powerful. You know why? The devils don't mind when they talk about all those other names. But the minute anybody starts talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, those devils tremble. What is going on here? Shut up. Get out of here. That's what the devils do. And so one day I was with my buddy. We were talking about this. We were waiting to get a takeout order at Pizza Plant. And they're still preparing our order there. And there's a whole bunch of people sitting around in the restaurant. And I said, you know, that name is so powerful. Anytime you mention that name, it makes people tremble. I mean, it just gets them all shook up. You can talk about God and religion and the Holy Spirit for hours with people. But you start talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, they get shook up. I said, watch, I'm going to prove it to you right now while we're waiting for our food. I said, I'm going to go around this restaurant and just take a little poll. You just watch the responses of the people. So all I did was I walked around to every table. First table I came to, there was a young couple. I call them young. They were maybe about 30 years old, husband and wife, with a little child and a car seat sitting next to them, and they were eating their meal. And I just said, I'm just taking a little poll. It's a simple yes or no, one question only. Would you please participate? Oh, sure, yes. I said, the one question I have, I just looked at both of them. I said, one question, just a yes or no answer. Have either one of you ever taken the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? What? She dropped her fork. Get them out of here. They were really upset. And I said, I'll take that as a no. Thank you very much. And I went to the next table. They were visibly shaken by that question. I went to the next table, and there were some people there, about 60 years old, a husband and a wife, and he had a Cadillac brochure there. Now, there's a dealership down the road there, so I figured he might have been out. It was a Saturday evening. He might have been out that afternoon looking at cars. And I said, excuse me, I'm taking a poll, and it's just a simple yes or no question, just one question. Would you answer for me? And the lady looked at me, why, sure, young man. He's a nice young man, yes. And I said, yes, I am, and I have a question for you. The question is this, have either one of you ever taken the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? We don't want to talk about that right now. Would you please, we'll leave. Thank you very much. And I went, and it's a powerful name. Makes people tremble. That still works today. And you know what? The devil wants to do everything he can to keep you from taking that name and speaking it with your lips. He wants you to talk about God and religion and the Holy Spirit and the Baptist Church and anything you can, but the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a powerful name. The devils tremble. You should rejoice. It should come off your lips very easily. It's a proper name. It's a powerful name. You want to know what else the Bible says? It's a prayerful name. It's a prayerful name. Let me show you something about in the Old Testament. Remember the Lord revealed so many names? Go back to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. This is a great chapter. A couple chapters here where David's son Solomon is finally getting the reality of building a temple for God. I mean, they've been waiting for us. His father's been waiting for years to do this. His father was laying up materials for him, and now the opportunity comes for him to build the temple. And 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 1, then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David. They're gonna dedicate the temple in this chapter. It's a great chapter. And then notice what he prays. He has this prayer, and here's what he says in verse 33 as he dedicates the temple. 1 Kings 8:33, Solomon prays the Lord. He says, now when thy people, Israel, be smitten down before the enemy because they've sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee, and confess thy name, and pray and make supplication unto thee in this house. Hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people, Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. Now, he's praying unto the Lord God of Israel. Go back to verse 20, last few words. We have built an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And that was the name that they had in the Old Testament. And the Jewish people were to pray to the Lord God of Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There is no other God. There's none before me and none after me. There's only one Lord. And he resides in the temple. His Shekinah glory is there in Jerusalem. And if you want to pray to God, you have to pray facing Jerusalem. You read Daniel. He would open his window and he would pray facing Jerusalem and pray to the Lord God of Israel. That was an Old Testament reality. But now that Jesus has come, the Lord changes it all. Go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Yes, Jesus is a proper name. Jesus is a powerful name. And now God changes it all. And in John 14:14, pick it up in the 13th verse to get a running start because Jesus is speaking to his disciples in the upper room. He tells them now, I'm going to leave you. But he says, this is what you do. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And the name that God now has given, from the time that the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross and shed his blood, is the name of Jesus. That is the name of prayer. There is no other name that anyone should be praying to. It must be asked in the name of Jesus. John 16, two chapters over, verses 23 and 24. And in that day, I mean, they've been asking Jesus for everything, but now Jesus is going to ascend back to heaven. And he says, in that day when I'm back in heaven, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto, before this time, you good Jewish boys and your Jewish parents and their parents and going all the way back to the time God spoke to Abraham, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. But now The time has changed. It's the blood of the everlasting covenant in the name of Jesus. And that's the name you ask. You go to my Father in my name. Our Father who art in heaven, in the name of Jesus, I ask. And ye shall receive that your joy may be full. Today we have people praying to all kinds of gods out there. There's a religion of 1 billion people praying to Allah. Now either the Bible's right or the Quran is right. The only problem with the Quran says it honors the Bible. And then it turns around and gives you another name to pray in. Now Jesus said there's only one name. That's his name. Those prayers will not be received by God if they're in the name of Allah. They must come in the name of Jesus. When I was a little boy, I prayed to St. Jude. I prayed to St. Gregory. I prayed to Mary. I prayed to all kinds of people. I don't know, there was a list of them, depending on what had happened. There was a patron saint for this and that, and this and that. The only name that God will recognize, the only name of prayer is Jesus. If you ask in my name, my Father will do it. There is none other name under heaven. That's it. It's a prayerful name. You know the crazy thing about praying to these other people and these saints? And all, by the way, that was done in the Old Testament. Sometime today you want to go home, you check it out. 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. You read through it and you see how they prayed, the pagans prayed to other gods in the old days. There's only one name God's given. The Lord God of Israel in the Old Testament and Jesus in the New Testament. And that name is now ascended above the Lord God of Israel. By God, and we'll show you that God has done that. And you got to pray to that. Now, I used to wonder about praying to Mary. A lot of people like to pray to Mary. I'm going to give you why Mary can't answer your prayers. Number one, she can't hear you. Okay? She's dead. She's buried somewhere in Ephesus. Okay? I know her soul is up in heaven, but she has no conscious awareness of anything that's going on down here on planet Earth. Okay? No saint does. Okay, they're present with the Lord and they're worshiping and glorifying God. We have no indication from Scripture that they're looking down here on earth. They're looking at God and worshiping Him. This is all behind for them. The earth has been put behind them. They've entered into eternity with God where they're worshiping Him. They can't hear you. No need to pray to them. Secondly, let's say they could hear you. How many people on this planet? 6 billion. How many are Catholics? 1 billion. How many are Muslims? 1 billion. So there's a million praying to Muhammad and Allah, or 1 billion there, and there's 1 billion praying to Mary. You think she can sort out 1 billion voices praying? Say, okay, well, only 1/10 is praying at any time. 1/100. That's still 10 million. You ever have 10 million people talk to you simultaneously? I have trouble with two. One. One's about all I can handle. So even if they could hear, it would be a cacophony of noise to them. It would be a chaos to them. But I'll go a step further. Let's say they could hear, which they can't. And let's say they could understand, which they can't. 1 million people speaking. Well, let's say they could. I'll give you number three. They're impotent to do anything about your prayers. Like they couldn't do anything physically where they, when they were here. They couldn't do anything right now spiritually while they're up there. So who do you pray to? You pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus. It's a prayerful name. It's the only name. It's a proper name. It's a powerful name. It's a prayerful name. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. A number of books to the right. There's big books of 1st, 2nd Corinthians, and there's Galatians, Ephesians, and the little book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Picking it up in verse 5, Paul teaches us with the Holy Ghost explaining to him and making it plain and clear that we should let this mind be in us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, Christ Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Why? Because he is God. He was God. He still is God. He'll always be God. He is God. It's not robbery for Jesus to be equal to God. He's God. And here's what he did. Verse 7, but he made himself of no reputation. And he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's the most amazing thing. Folks, our God died for us. The angels are still trying to figure it out. I believe it, and I'm just so thankful for it. But Jesus humbled himself all the way down to accept death as a man. Now God the Father was so pleased with this, verse 9, wherefore, because Jesus had such meekness and such humility, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. It's above God. It's above Lord. It's above It's above every name. It is not only proper, it is not only powerful, it is not only prayerful, it is preeminent. It is preeminent. This is the name above every name. How far? Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Watch it. Of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. There's a day coming when people will be raised out of their graves to bow the knee to Jesus Christ. God's going to see to it. Things under the earth. Verse 11, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Confucius, not Allah, not Mary, not any saints, not even the Lord God of Israel's name of the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of Father. It is the preeminent name, superior in excellence, superior in rank, superior in dignity, priority of place that takes precedent over any name you've ever heard. That's why the devils tremble. Because they know that truth. And they want to keep it from you and from me. But they can't, because we got a Bible. And God will not let his word be destroyed by them. If the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? God's not going to let the foundations be destroyed. Heaven and earth will pass away, but this word shall not pass. And we know the name. And I want to show you something interesting. I was going through it. You remember in our studies in the Old Testament, we were taking a look at the names that God revealed. And there was one name in your King James Bible, and you can check this out when you get home, that's mentioned four times. Only four times in the King James, that perfect, pure English Bible that you have. You'll find it in Exodus 6:3, Jehovah. You'll find it in Psalm 83, and I believe it's verse 13. No, verse 18, I'm sorry. You'll find it two places in Isaiah. And Isaiah is like the fifth gospel. I think it's chapter 12, verse 2, and chapter 26, verse 4. There are four places in your King James Bible where God lays out the name Jehovah. I know some people think every time L-O-R-D is in the Old Testament, it's Jehovah, but it's Lord. And God did that for a purpose. I'm going to show you why. Because I'll tell you why he did this. Turn in your New Testament, and I'm going to show you something. Start in Matthew chapter 1. Start in Matthew chapter 1. Someday you go through and you just watch when God uses all caps. He's trying to get your attention. Matthew chapter 1, and look at verse 21. What do you see? You see Jesus in all caps? There it is. A little further down, you see verse 25? All right. Turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and look at verse 31, when the Annunciation is made to Mary that she'll have a child, that it'll be conceived by the Holy Ghost. 1:31, what do you have there? You got all caps. And then when the baby is born, go to Luke 2 and verse 21. 2:21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. perfect match. Because Jesus is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. And only in the King James Bible you get that. Absolutely perfect. God's trying to show you they're the one and the same. I and the Father are one. And you get that in the King James Bible. It was the name Jehovah was revealed to the Jews, and yet it was kept hush-hush. They were not supposed to use it. They didn't speak it. They used an alternate term called Adonai whenever they came across the word Lord. But now in the New Testament, God reveals that Jesus is the Jehovah. Jesus is a name. That's why I get so confused when I hear people run around calling themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. Who the heck told them to do that? They weren't supposed to do that back in Israel, in Jewish times. You didn't have Jews that knew the Lord through the scriptures given running around calling him Jehovah. They said Adonai. They didn't witness that name in the Old Testament. What would make you think you're supposed to witness it in the New when the Bible is making it so plain and clear that the proper name of Jesus, the prayerful name of Jesus, the powerful name of Jesus is the preeminent name given by God that you're supposed to proclaim? Confusion reigns supreme. This is a name to be preached and to be proclaimed to God's glory. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 before he ascended, "Ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. Power shall come upon you when you receive the Holy Ghost, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." Not Jehovah. To me. Jesus. Proclaim the name, Jesus of Nazareth. We saw what they did in the book of Acts. By the name of Jesus of Nazareth, by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, devils fled. People got up and walked. The world was turned upside down. Who told Jehovah's Witnesses to run around with confusion, utter confusion out there? Read the Bible. It makes it so plain and clear. I'm going to show you the last thing I want to show you about this name. Because we've seen that it's proper. We've seen that it's powerful. We've seen that it's prayerful. We've seen that it's preeminent. But the last thing I want to say about it is when I went all the way back to that Old Testament, that one verse we started with in Proverbs 22, it said, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches." Now, God chose the name of Jesus for mankind, and that's better than great riches. Folks, if you got Jesus, you're better off than if you're Donald Trump. Than if you're that guy that owns Microsoft. I don't know his name. You're better off to have Jesus and living in a trailer park somewhere. I mean, a used, I don't know where you're living. Whatever you're doing, you've got Jesus. You've got better than great riches because God chose that name and he's going to bring salvation by that name. But I noticed something as I was looking at that verse. It's better to be chosen. Better to be chosen. And I inverted it. Not just that God chose it, but he's giving you a choice too. A good name is rather to be chosen. It is a personal name. It is a personal name. And I'm a person. And you're a person. And God would like you personally to choose that name. You remember in the Old Testament, they used the term Lord over and over and over. I want to show you something. And why your King James Bible is perfect. Go to Psalm 52. Let me show you something. Don't mess with the Word of God because this book is perfect. There are things in here that are just, it's so precious that we have this. We ought to rejoice that God has spoken to the Gentiles of the last 400 years with a perfect English Bible because English is the language of the world. And God's getting that book out everywhere. And look at Psalm 52 and look at verse 9. This is very interesting. In Psalm 52, the psalmist says this. He's thinking about God and he's thinking about his mercy. And he says this. He says in verse 9, "I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name." I will wait on thy name. Remember, back then, they had that generic thing, God. They had that title, Lord. And the name Jehovah was so concealed, they really weren't allowed to speak it. They were told, don't speak it. And they didn't. They used Adonai. So they had these alternate titles. But they had to wait for a name that they could speak. Look at Psalm 54 and verse 6. He says, "I will freely sacrifice unto thee, and I will, future, praise thy name, O Lord." He's waiting for it, and he's going to praise it someday. Curious. Now, this is written to Jewish people. These are the people that God chose in the Old Testament. Now turn to Romans 10. I want to show you something very interesting that I discovered in my reading. Now, if you've ever read the book of Romans is the greatest doctrinal epistle if you want to know New Testament Christianity and why you need to be a Christian. And that Paul divides the book into three sections, which I'm not surprised, because God is a Godhead with three parts to him, and so the book has three sections. And chapters 1 through 8 tell you why you need Christ as your Savior. And chapters 12 through 16 tell you the great benefits and blessings and the work you can do with Christ as your Savior. So you've got the doctrine of Christianity in 1 through 8. You've got the duty of Christianity in 12 through 16. And then in the middle, three little chapters, Paul makes it clear that God's not done with Israel. Lest you be high-minded in your conceit and think that God's put Israel behind. And chapters 9, 10, and 11, he addresses to the Jew. And 9 is Israel past, 10 is Israel present, and 11 is Israel future when all Israel will be saved. And look what he does in the 10th chapter. Here's Israel present. Verse 1, 10:1, Romans 10:1, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved right now. I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And then he cuts to the chase in verse 9. You know what he says? He says, we need faith. And he says, this is what a Jew needs right now. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord what? Jehovah? The Lord Jesus. You've been waiting for 2,000 years, people. You've been waiting to speak a name attached to the title Lord. God's never let you speak it. You as a Jew must say the Lord Jesus. If thou shalt, thou, Jew, Gentile too. But this chapter is written to Jews. I know we use it all the time for witnessing to Gentiles. And it's good, it works. But he's trying to speak to a Jew. You've had a title of Lord that's been quiet for 2,000 years and you haven't been able to put a name to it. And here it is, folks. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord who? Jesus. Jesus. You personally make that choice. What'll happen? And believe in thine heart, God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Will you say, Lord Jesus? I can't do it. I'm a Jew. Paul says, please. I bear record. I know your zeal, but I'm telling you, you don't have the knowledge. God's given this name above every name. You must say it. The Lord Jesus. Jesus. Personally, you must say it. Look at Acts chapter 4. Here he is in the temple, and here's Peter preaching before Romans is Acts. It's a proper name. It's a powerful name. It's a prayerful name. It's a preeminent name, but it must be a personal name. You personally must make the choice. Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 12. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, he said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We need salvation, and there's no other name. It's a personal name. You must make the choice personally. You know, I was going through the scriptures, and there was a study done by a man in the 1800s, and he counted all the verses in the Bible. And they were an odd number of verses. And he knew right away if there's an odd number, that means there's a middle verse to the Bible. Because if you think of the number 3, then you could have one verse on one side, one on the other, and a middle verse. Number 5, you'd have the middle verse and 2 verses on each side. If it's an even number, there's no middle verse. And he counted them out, and there's a middle verse to the Bible. And he found the middle verse. And it's interesting. And then he did this, and he showed this. He said the very first time that God is ever mentioned in the Bible, he's mentioned in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. And he's mentioned as God. The middle verse of the Bible is found in Psalm 118. And it's Psalm 118, verse 8. 118 and verse 8. And so in that verse, read that verse with me, it's very interesting. Psalm 118, verse 8. Simple verse. This is what it says. Good advice. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. So many people are putting confidence in a priest, putting confidence in the political leaders, putting confidence in their boss, putting confidence in someone in their family. He said, put your trust in the Lord. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And notice, in that particular verse, there are 14 words. And I noticed there were 6 words. It is better to put trust in, those are 6 middle words, the Lord, and then another 6 words, than to put confidence in man. And so the middle 2 words of that verse are the Lord. That's the middle reference of the Bible, of the name of God. And there it is, right smack dab in the middle of the middle verse of the Bible, the Lord. God, the Lord. Turn to the back of the Bible, Revelation, last page. Back of the Bible. There's a name mentioned in the last verse of your Bible. Revelation 22:21. Anyone see the name? The grace of our Lord, who? Jesus Christ. That's the message of the Bible. God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know who God is? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There it is from beginning to end. Beginning, middle to end. There it is connected right there. God, the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, something interesting. You know how many chapters there are in the Bible? There's 1,189. Okay? You take away one chapter to find the middle, because you've got to subtract one to divide by two. When you take away one, you get 1,000... kind of points you to the verse anyways. Even the chapter and verse markings are inspired by God. You got a perfect word in your hand. Love it. But now the question is this. We started in Matthew 1. And you know what the angel said? He said, Jesus shall save his people from their sins. And now the personal choice. It's better to choose, to be chosen, a good name to be chosen. It's your choice. It's personal. Yes, it's proper for Jesus to have the name. Yes, it's a prayerful name. Yes, it's a powerful name. Yes, it's a preeminent name. But personally, are you one of his? Have you chosen him? Have you made him your Savior? Are you one of his people? If you are, he'll save you from your sins. And if you're not, Philippians 2 tells you, someday you'll be dug up from under the earth to confess that Jesus is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. Why not take him today? Why not take him today? This is the last name that God's given. There's no more to come, folks. It's a good name. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the clear and plain teaching of the Scriptures. I pray now, Lord, that you speak to hearts. I'm so thankful you showed me that Jesus is the Savior. Thank you for the salvation. Thank you that Jesus saves to the uttermost them that come unto him by simple faith. Bless the message, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take communion and break the bread.